Hello, I'm Elena Del Valle, and this is the HispanicNPR.com podcast. My guest today is Akli Ajauti, PhD, who is author of Inside AI. We will discuss Inside Artificial Intelligence. According to his bio, Akli founded Brighterin, an AI company later acquired by MasterCard. Prior to that, he founded Conception and Intelligence Artificielle in France, where he developed MindSuite, a hybrid AI platform used in defense, finance, and healthcare. He's the founder and chief executive officer of Exponion, a venture capital firm funding AI, biotech, cybersecurity, digital health, robotics, and fintech. He holds a PhD in artificial intelligence from the University of Pierre and Marie Curie and has served as a professor at the University of San Francisco and head of the Department of Artificial Intelligence at the École pour l'informatique et la technique avancée, or EPITA. He holds more than 35 patents with citations from companies such as Google, Apple, MasterCard, and Tesla. Akli, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get started, would you please share a conflict of interest statement with us?
I don't have any conflict of interest. This is just about my book.
Great, thank you. Let's start with something really simple, or maybe it's really complex. What do we mean when we say artificial intelligence? Everybody has a different, I think, interpretation. In its most basic form, what does that mean?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. Actually, in my book, even my PhD, I started, what is artificial intelligence? It's like, what's the definition of intelligence? It's actually, it's very of what is artificial intelligence. I think it's the name itself are contradictory, because artificial is, you know, it has nothing to do with intelligence. Intelligence is something natural. So if you think about intelligence, we as human, you know, it's, we learn through experience. It's more related to how we adapt, how we react. More importantly, to something that you see for the first time, you know, but if you learn something, you repeat it, we don't consider that as intelligence, but the way you react to something new, that's the definition of intelligence. So in when it comes to definition of artificial intelligence in a computer, remember, I always like to explain to people that a computer is not a brain, it's just a you know, transistors, it's lights, it's like a switch. When you turn home and you turn on and off, there's millions of that. It's called zero and one. So what is artificial intelligence? Basically what it does is, like, when you feed it a lot of data, you know, you read from online, from internet, whatever response was provided. So a computer is able to learn from that. There's a lot of different techniques that we call learn, you know, entre quotes, not the way we learn as human, but it will find correlation, relationship, etc. So, for example, if you say, today the weather is great, and I decided to go because the machine read so many things online, find that people that write that maybe say, good to the beach, or go do a hike, or go do something. So it will suggest to you something that makes really, for you, it's like, wow, it looks impressive, but it's because it read it's online. So basically what is artificial intelligence, you feed it a lot of data. I don't want to go too much technical, because it's like in my business, I think this is how people hopefully will understand artificial intelligence. So my last company, called the Praetorian, our job was to detect fraud in credit card. So what we did is, like, you go to the bank and you ask them, can you give me the transaction that you had in 2012, for example, 2000, like the years before? because the transaction already happened, you know which one was fraud and which was genuine. So what you want to do is to feed that to a computer program in order for the system to find what differentiates a genuine transaction from fraud transaction. So the system will find by itself, just like this, it will be like, a lot of fraud happened international. Transaction international. Oh, a lot of transaction international happens online. So the system will create this think, it's called a decision tree, a way of asking question, is this transaction international? Is it online? How much is it? And then we can go forward to learn the behavior of people. So I'm taking too much time to explain it, but hopefully you see the relation between the data, which was the transactions that were provided the system. We had the information about which one fraud was not fraud, and the system later would be able to learn from that. And then when it's learned, the knowledge we extract from the transaction, that's what we call models. You hear ChatGPT just delivered a new model. A model is learning from data. So the model, we put it on a bank, and when transaction comes, that transaction goes through that decisioning that we learned from the data, and we make the decision. I'm sorry I took too much long time to respond to this question.
Are you saying that the model is looking for patterns of behavior? Am I summarizing that well?
You are a million times smarter than me. You just said it in one word. I should have said that. That's the best definition ever. I should interview you, not you interviewing me. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. So that's a far cry if we say patterns of behavior from intelligence, which is this word, I think, that is frightening so many people, and this promise that we're hearing from a lot of corners that the arrival of AI is going to change our lives, eliminate job opportunities. I'm reading about company executives who are eliminating jobs because they say that AI is going to replace 90% of their staff. How do we get from pattern recognition and Brighterun in detecting credit card fraud to this other extreme?
I think that's called hype. Because, you know, artificial intelligence before was mainly for professionals, and then when ChatGPT was released in 2022, it entered every home. So now the hype becomes actually bigger and bigger. It's very hard to convince people that artificial intelligence is what you just said. It's just statistic, correlation, and again, mathematics. But again, the hype is, I was speaking to a university, I was invited to talk, and I said, in July, for example, the hype started in the 60s, when Arthur Samuel, his program on TV, I'm talking 60s, I think it was 1962, 63, it was Checker, and he defeated the best player, and people say, oh, it's the end of the world, we're taking the jobs. And then that pattern repeated over and over when Kasparov was beat by the game, when Google, you know, AlphaGo. In 1987, for example, Harvard Business Review said that, according to people, we'd be losing all our jobs to artificial intelligence. So yes, I think ChatGPT, when it comes to things like, for example, if like someone, when I moved from France, my English was not as perfect. It's still not. But I needed assistance to review my text to correct it. That's over. Today I would use ChatGPT. He's capable of writing any text I wanted. But again, I have to be sure that it's correct, because ChatGPT does not understand. It just guesses. It guesses the next word. That's what it does. It just guesses. Despite that, it's really impressive for many people. I didn't get it. But I will give you another example. I was telling a student, I said, who is better suited, the question you asked, for automation than automobile industry? Automobile industry existed for years and years and years, and we hear it will be just robot, it will be just this, it will be no more employee, no one will work anymore on automobile. It's simple, put the thing, turn the bolt, move it, etc. Since Ford started the factory. I explained to students and give them the employees in Germany, because the German are now for their car, from 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20, job employees keep growing. The numbers keep growing. They started going a little bit down when China started making its own cars. And again, if you want me, I can give you another, the modern textile. I tell the student that, people, if you want to make a jean, you see, I'm making a jean, and he pounds a jean, you may think it's simple. And people invested millions of dollars trying to replace all these people that work, in Bangladesh and everyone else, because they thought if we get a machine that makes your jean, or we don't need people anymore, or you make your shoes, we don't need people. Guess what? The people are still there doing it. So yeah, AI will replace some jobs that, like, if it's tax, if it's legal, looking for something, but again, I don't see it replacing teachers. I don't see it replacing doctors, because medicine is art, is not science. I did my PhD at Necker Hospital in France. And when this hype will go over, the problem with AI today, it's two things, two big problems I want your audience to know. Number one, it does not explain how it reaches its conclusion. ChatGPT will send you a link that he find online according to this, or if he give you an explanation it's not possible. It's called a black box, because the way we learn with AI is numbers. Everything we learn become numbers, and then we cannot go from that numbers to find the rational why we made that decision. So it is impossible to apply it for mission critical. Like in the payment industry, you cannot apply the technology that ChatGPT uses in fraud or to give a loan to someone, because you're required by law, if you reject someone, to explain why did you reject me from the loan. ChatGPT technology cannot provide that, because it's based on technology that has a fancy word called deep learning, but it does not explain the rationale on how we achieve something. So yeah, like any other technology, artificial intelligence will help. We reduce some jobs, but again, anything that touches reasoning, thinking, you will not want a technology in medical field that make hallucination, that will suggest things that don't exist. And we saw it in the law, that a judge was, a lawyer was close to lose his license because he cited a case that never existed and ChatGPT provided to him. So I don't believe, yes, AI will probably displace some jobs, but the majority of human jobs are safe. I said this 30 years ago. I am more convinced today, 100% convinced today, that it's exactly the same situation. And I'm happy to challenge anyone in front of anyone and explain, not just word, but we sit on a board and explain exactly how artificial intelligence works, formula per formula. I will be able to explain to him why it's not possible that this technology will replace doctors or lawyers or anyone else.
What was the second problem? You said there were two problems.
So the problem, the first one is it does not explain. There's a lot of problems. Number one, it guesses. You know, it guesses. So the other the number one, it does not explain. The other thing, it's hallucinate. Like for example, yesterday someone sent me asked a question about me, and the system says, I had a bachelor, ChatGPT, it was 2 days ago. ChatGPT, it was Saturday. ChatGPT said that I went to Berkeley, played soccer. It just, you know, threw things. And I'm now in public. I was on Wall Street Journal, USA Today. And it's not like I'm not known. I run a company that manages 200 billion transactions worldwide. Applied for Homeland Security, healthcare fraud. I was in the news. So the system should be able to tell me, not invent things about me. So if people don't know me, they will think, yeah, this guy played soccer, went to Berkeley. False. But for me, it's irrelevant. But when it comes to medical, to other things that are important, you can all rely on technology that hallucinate. So this is two. So I said it does not explain, it hallucinates. The other problem I see is this. My fear is this. I really tell students the problem today that if you let your kids use ChatGPT, you are actually harming them. Because if any time they need a response to a question, they jump to ChatGPT and take it without proving it. You are removing from them, because intelligence comes from learning through, you fail, you don't find solution, you think, your brain, it's like a gymnastic of the mind. That's how you learn. And I tell people, one of the characteristics that artificial intelligence does not have, would never have, with this there, because it's zero and one, it's characteristic of human, like imagination, intuition, curiosity, common sense. You know, I grew up very, very poor, you know, very poor. My dad was taking things from a boat in South France. And my dad never went to school. My mother never went to school. I had everything against me. People that don't know, but French, I'm a Berber, you know, French, but my origin is Berber. I'm very proud of being a Kabylian person. It's a minority. People know us, you know, through Saint Augustine and Kahina and Tariq and all this historic Numidian Empire, etc. But I grew up poor. If I did not have imagination, when you come poor like me, who will help you? Who will open the door for you? No one. Because my parents, they were seeing them as just cleaning. It's like, oh, this guy must be a cleaner or works in a job that the French did not want to do. Even in World War II, they put our families in France for the German. So what allowed me to succeed is my imagination. I knew coming from this, had no chance. I needed to create something that did not exist, that's new, that's different, that no one can do. That's the only chance I had, zero other chance. And I did. Same thing in even United States. It's more open, there's American dream. It allowed me to build a company that manages 200 billion transactions. And I've become very, very successful with it financially, more than, you know, it's irrelevant for me, but I'm trying to give an example to people that the characteristic of what allows us to succeed, the imagination, the creativity, the intuition, all of it, far artificial intelligence will never be able to even get close.
What's the difference between AI and machine learning?
Yeah, so there is, I would say, the great question. It's machine learning is a part of artificial intelligence. So if you want me to go to too much details, so there's two type of artificial intelligence called supervised learning and unsupervised learning. So predictive AI, which is actually way more powerful because it explains the reasoning. That's what I use that criterion. So predictive AI is like you learn, if I go back to the transaction that I explained to you, I took transactions and so the system find by himself. The idea is like you understand the logic, you ask this transaction before you accept it or not. So you say, is it an international or domestic? So when it's domestic or international, if it's international, you say, where is it? Did the person buy a ticket airline before? Did has any reservation for hotel? So we see if it's really someone who is traveling, this person has an experience of traveling. So that logic that we extracted, we use it to predict. So that's the model we create, and then we put it on a system and call it the model. So this system is called predictive artificial intelligence. But predictive artificial intelligence is actually amazingly good because it does, we were managing over 62,000 transactions per second with a 5 to 6 millisecond response time, which is like the light of speed. It's crazy. It's impressive. But we were able to explain why transaction. Someone said, why is this transaction flagged as fraud? We can tell them because this transaction happened international or domestic during the night at this store, far from. So we have the rational. When it comes to unsupervised learning like ChatGPT or all these people, what they do is like, give you an example. You learn, but you don't, when we give you the data, like the transaction that I provided you, I don't tell you which was fraud, which was not fraud, because I don't know it. For example, you read online. No one would tell you. You just read it. It's called unsupervised. It's not, it's like difference between supervised and unsupervised. For example, supervised, I give you pictures of cat and dogs, and we say, this is a cat, this is a dog. The meaning of supervised is I'm telling you which one, and I want you to learn how to distinguish them. But if I just give you the picture and you take care of it yourself, it's unsupervised, you find. So for example, let's make it simple for your audience. So let's suppose we learn 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So in unsupervised learning, the system would find just the patterns, the form. Like for example, 8, he would say, oh, he would recognize it through the circles. Of course, he doesn't know it's 8, just the circles. The 9 would be the curve, et cetera, et cetera. But the way we learn in AI, it's because a computer just understands numbers, just numbers. So in unsupervised learning, you will have I'm oversimplifying, a matrix of numbers, 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 numbers. So when something comes, like you want to recognize a cat or a dog, that picture is pixels. So it numbers, and the system will find the one that's close to it. But it has no way of telling you how it reached the conclusion. Remember, initially in predictive, we were able to create a logic, say, is it international, is it domestic, is this, we create a decision tree. But within supervised learning, we're just looking to correlation, relationship. It's all numbers, so we cannot explain them. So that's the difference between, but machine learning is, it's just, we like to use a lot of fancy words in artificial intelligence, like deep learning, neural network, machine learning. It's all statistics. It's just, it's 10 years ago, 15 years ago, if you go to LinkedIn, you would see like thousands of people that had their job title statisticians. They disappeared. No one is statistician now. Everyone become a machine learning person. Everyone become a data scientist. It's just, I would say AI, machine learning is a part of AI, but AI as itself is again based on formula, on correlation, on statistic, on probability, and based on the quality of the data.
How can you fix errors? Because clearly there are errors, sometimes really big ones, as you illustrated with your bio a few minutes ago, the famous hallucinations. If you don't know how the AI reached the conclusion that it spat out the information that it gave you as quote-unquote correct, then how can you fix it so it doesn't happen? So it doesn't happen. If you have this black box that you were talking about earlier, how do you correct biases? How do you correct errors that it's picking up when it's gathering the data?
Hallucination with ChatGPT, you cannot correct it. It's the same as saying, oh, the elephant doesn't fly. How do I make an elephant fly? You can put like fake wing on it, but it's not flying. It's the exact same thing. For hallucination, the problem with the hallucination is that it's in the root of the technology. It's not an error. It's not an error that you correct. Because it's based on guesses, it makes a lot of errors like that. It's guesses. So it's not possible. There is no way you can remove the hallucination. Yeah, they had some people tried to come with whatever they call it, path of thought. Again, another word to, fancy word that looks like very savvy. But the fundamental of the technology itself is what it is. It's not possible because it's when it guesses something, every probability, every guesses has its error. So the reason it's actually what's surprising when I was asked this question, it's kind of actually surprising that it does only like outside the when you ask question, they did a great job on through correlation and relationship to find things that looks coherent and responding to your question. But you have to understand fundamental thing is like, a computer does not understand the world like the way we understand it. For example, when you say, I don't know, I'll give you an example, like a taste of fruit, like what is lemon, what is sweet, what is the warmth of the sun. The computer does not understand that. It's not like a human. So because the computer does not experience the world that like we do, it's just numbers. I'm not even talking about emotion, empathy, or all of that. It's just numbers. That's what led to the error. So I don't see, the core technology, it's really powerful. It's called the reason it's called deep learning, it's actually it corrects, it's based on error, gradient descent. If people went to high school, they know the gradient descent. It's like error, you correct an error. So you test it and you find an error, you correct it, but it's just numbers. So that's the problem with this technology. It's like, because it's based on probability and guesses, when it hallucinate, it does not know why it hallucinate. It's numbers. There's no way you will fix it because it's just the way it is. And even worse than that, I think the problem for the hallucination is like, imagine a world where the kids will rely so much on this technology and then they will start feeding themselves with wrong information. Because unless you know the field, I cannot trust anything that ChatGPT tells me if it's not something I understand. I really don't, because of course text is great. It's because there's so many texts written and people write on internet, poetry, stories of their life, journalists, articles. There's so many data on the writing, the quality of writing. And as I said in my book, we're talking about a dictionary, it's a word. We have the rules, we have the grammar. We have all this data, and the system was able to help us. ChatGPT is phenomenal in that. But when you exit the world and you enter the real world of thinking, reasoning, ChatGPT is just, and by the way, four days ago, Apple just published an article, which is everywhere on, I saw it on LinkedIn, but it's everywhere, proving that LLM, they look to all ChatGPT, all the other ones, Llama, all of them, and basically the article says it's nonsense. It's not, they don't understand nothing. It's just guess, and they use them for some puzzles, like crossing a river. You have a goat, you have a farmer, you have a wolf, and you have a cabbage, and they try to use all these problems, and they use the classical problems in artificial intelligence called Tour of Hanoi, which every student, if you did class in math, you learn it. And they took another problem for that was in AI about plussing curbs, learn overload. And the Apple just published it 3-4 days ago, showing that ChatGPT and all the others just fall like they were terrible. Just as soon as you take them outside the text world, or the code that exists that people, like when people say, oh, you know, ChatGPT can code in your place. Really? What it does, it went to Stack Overflow. There is for years and years, since the 70s, people put their code there. You know, it's an open source for code. How to write this, how to solve this, how to do this. And there are millions and millions and millions of line of code. Everyone put it there. So ChatGPT goes there and bring it to you and give it to people and say, oh, ChatGPT knows how to code. No, he does not. ChatGPT knows how to go find something that written by human and give it to you. If you ask him to write a poetry in French, like he would probably find Rimbaud and Baudelaire, both are poets in France, Baudelaire and Rimbaud, mix them up and send it to you. Be like, oh, me, wow, this is crazy for you. But in reality, well, the only thing they did is take things, mix them. It's just, so that's the state of the art where we are in artificial intelligence.
Tell us about the ethics of artificial intelligence.
There's no ethics because ethics is we need to appreciate the complexity of human relationship, of when we talk about ethics, it's just like what you said earlier, the bias, because the data itself is biased anyway. How many people will think that someone like me thinks about people like me in France is about what? They're in prison. They live in a poor area. We have no data of people like me that were successful or built things or do things or what. Same thing in America. If you're Latino, if you're a black person or whatever, historically, it's just people starved and did not, you have to. I grew up in a, people had nothing. So you had two choices. You have, unfortunately, some people, because they are so angry about the system, they do things that they should not do. Or people like me that say, hey, let's work harder and do this. So the data itself that the computer learns from is biased. It's just like I tell this has nothing to do with artificial intelligence, but my grandmother told me one day, I will never forget that. She said, look, you grew up in our culture. We taught you what we think is great. Your family, your neighbors, we live in a small village in Cabellia with the snow, it's beautiful. And she said, but as soon as you cross the river, there's a big river, you can't cross it in the winter anyway, you will enter a different world that probably you will not understand. Don't judge them with us. try to learn what they do. And she never went to school. I'm very attached to my grandma. So whether it's ethics, whether it's bias, artificial intelligence does not have the tools to be able to comply with them.
It's the people who lead, let's say, the AI charge, who are making use, who control the AI tools that are defining the ethics, if I'm understanding what you're saying correctly. The data is just the data. The data is biased because the sources are biased, but someone is controlling what happens with that data. Is that right?
Yeah, the whole world is like it's what it is. It's like, take Apple, for example. Again, I'm not saying things, we were told that social media was great. It's destroyed a lot of people. They will deny it. Apple pretends to, loves humanity, but he goes and uses people in the world to make their phone and send them for a fortune in the United States. So people told us that tobacco is great. The medical field here, they charge you $1,000 for things that cost in Europe $10. You go to a hospital, they do surgery on you even if you don't need it. How do you expect, it's just like, it's not like I lost hope of the way the world, but in America, honestly, the healthcare system make me feel like, because there are other countries like France where preventive healthcare is not used to bankrupt people, to crush people, to overcharge people. So if artificial intelligence, the people that are building all this company, putting all these billions of dollars in it, they would use it to their interest, despite whatever they tell you. They would tell you something. You are 100% right. So it's just like, you see what we hear about Facebook and what the people that do and tell how harm they know they will feed you. They know that it's harming your kids, harming them. I mean, opioid. Forget artificial intelligence. The opioid industry. All these companies that you have opioids. They know it harm people. They're selling them, and you have stores that supposedly are there to help you sell, get better, feed you this. So why do you expect people that are building artificial intelligence will suddenly be angels and make it like, oh yeah, we it's they will do anything that will suit their interest. So the ethics, they're only the ethics stop where their interest, is not rewarded. That's the way the world. I mean, we require government to, for example, Europe, come with a law saying that AI need to do explanation, AI need to do this, AI need to do that to protect people. Don't take my picture. Don't create the 1984, Orwell's world. Don't do this. Don't do that. Guess what? They voted that in Europe. The AI companies, they went there and says, oh, China is doing this. We're not doing it. If we don't do it, China will be number one. So let's remove all these rules. And French President Macron says, we are not going to impose the rules because if we impose the rules, then our companies will be less competitive and they will do nothing. So then remove the rules, and then where is the ethic? Zero, non-ethic.
How do you strike a balance that allows for progress and at the same time has some moral standards?
I guess the I would tell you I wish I have the response. I think we lost, coming from a very, very, very old culture. I proud myself for never, I have never changed it. I was happy when I was broke. Really happy. Come from a family that laughed on everything. We fight for one potatoes. Literally fought for potatoes, literally. And I became extremely successful, but my culture allowed me to, I never changed it. Nothing changed me except the deep emotion I learned from my grandmother, my father, my mother that taught me about if you help a blind cross the street, you are rewarding yourself, not him. And it's true. It's just the, so how do we instill progress with morals? I think more and more people are feeling that. The new generation, I have two kids, and I think I see them more really caring about the world, caring about, I guess, more and more people are questioning, where are we going? I think about Facebook, there was a Netflix series, I forgot the name of it, that come and explain the risk of all these things. And it was remarkable to see people that work in the field explaining how they don't allow their kids to use that. So I think I do believe that scientific people are really, I would say the majority want good for people. And that's really what make me have a huge hope, because when you are a scientist, you it's very hard to find a scientist that's want bad for it doesn't mean that it does not exist, but I would say over 90% of scientific people want do science because they love the humanity, they want to contribute, they want to do. So I do have hope that that we will achieve. There is a lot of organizations that are being created to, to alert people. There is red flag. There's more education. So I think with all of that, I do believe that we will. AI is here to stay. Predictive AI, particularly, will continue the success it's had and continue to have. Generative AI like ChatGPT will settle a little bit when people sees the, the error it's making. And as I mentioned, the article that Apple just did, Apple would not take a risk of publishing an article like that, showing how, excuse me, incoherent and how many lot of errors this system makes. And when you take them in another field that they literally have no clue what they're saying. So all of this will push people to understand their power and limit, and will confident that will end like when we did with the nuclear bomb, just organization and people under this threat. Because when the world see that they're threatened by something, in general, they all get together to limit it. And I have a hope that I'm not saying AI is like nuclear or something, but for the minds at least, we want to be sure that our kids don't become a zombie thinkers. Two weeks ago, I was with my wife driving, and we stopped in a gas station that the car did not work, so I went and paid him. And the guy took him a few minutes, and he's in high school because he doesn't know how to calculate. He doesn't have a machine. He was like, "Oh, minus this, minus." I was like, "Wait a minute, it's simple." He said, "Oh, in high school we use a machine calculation. We don't calculate with our hand, and we don't want our kids in the future say, man, I don't know how to respond. Let me get ChatGPT. We don't have internet, so I don't know how to respond." So there's a lot of challenges, a lot of benefits, and we will find our way.
Tell us about training. There's a lot of debate around this issue of training. You said a minute ago that AI will continue, will evolve, but there are a lot of people out there, big names, saying that if they are not given unfettered access to more or less universal access to people's lives and their the product of their creativity, that AI will stop evolving. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so AI, see, AI is like the, without the data, AI is useless. It's nothing. It's like you have a car that does not have gas. Okay, I'm just simplifying. Of course, it's more than gas. It's actually more than gas. It's the seat, it's the driving. This was terrible because a lot of people that worked hard, artists and writers, a lot of people that live with the art of creativity, creation, put it online. This product, they actually read it without their knowledge. So they did not ask for authorization. And in general, they even refused to reward them. You can get sometimes a response that was an extract from a book directly. So the guy who wrote the book should be rewarded. So I think if I don't know how they will do it, but if you don't feed artificial intelligence with data, literally then they had nothing to learn from. What are they going to learn from? It's just like, let's suppose this is why when sometimes you ask ChatGPT, they say, "Oh, my knowledge stopped at the date of 2020 something." So if you stop after that, whatever comes after it, he does not have no clue about what it is because he does not have access to it. And I think more and more people now are getting to protect their IP because it was a theft. It was an IP theft, literally, it's an IP theft. And maybe a lot of people now will probably, I don't know, but I guess it's possible that people that really matter, that have ideas, powerful ideas, maybe they will not want to share them in a way that's available to system like this that literally steal whatever you have. So it's a big problem. It's absolutely a big problem. And without new data, the system will be obsolete because things changes, a lot of information will come in. This is why they are trying to sign a contract with like I know in France it signed with Le Monde, they signed with all this like the equivalent of Wall Street Journal and all this so they can read whatever they are writing, but it's a balance. Honestly, it's very difficult for creators. And so when you see a system being able to create movie like pictures or music, it's easy. How they did it? Because they learned from what existed online. With all, of course, they will never show you just one, but it's the collective intelligence of the people that built it that allowed these companies to mimic what was done without them thinking that maybe now all the people that did that job will lose their job because it's very easy to replicate. And that should not be allowed. They should literally give a part of the revenue to all these artists that built something. They should have a it's the right thing to do. It's because without the work of this artist, Sora or all this product would not be able to exist. So you steal from people and then you replace them, and it's just not fair. So I don't know. I hope that there will be a law that require this system that every time they read something. And I think New York Times yesterday forced ChatGPT, I read it, or 2 days ago, forced ChatGPT to keep all the record so they can prove that they are, you know, they are not taking their own information from them. And that's great. I mean, this will be terrible for a ChatGPT because if they have to keep the record of everything they read, that would be extremely costly for them. So it's better for them to find a way to retribute creators, artists, all the people that do, be fair with them, and it would be beneficial for both of them.
The New York Times and the Le Monde and the Guardian, I think, also struck a deal. But a lot of creativity comes from small companies or individuals. And from what you're saying, this would or should stifle creativity or the sharing of new ideas if they're going to be stolen. What do you think will happen in relation to, let's say, small businesses' creativity and individual creativity?
I think the problem is that, again, the small businesses in the U.S., they don't have the power of the large corporation. And again, it's what it is. It's the world. It's, you know, it's, and these companies, they know it because they will, you know, if you're a small business, if you're an artist, creator, by yourself, you don't have time, you don't have the resources, you don't have the money to go to sue them. No one will listen to you. You have no audience, you have no nothing. So they have to have a coalition of people to do it. But 100%, I'm 1,000% with you that people that write things are average people, small business creators, young people. I wrote things about smart agent technology way before, like 2001, in the U.S., my first article. Now you find it all over. It's science, it's technology, whatever I did, it's okay for me because it's not. I don't live with that. But the people that really live with their creativity and these people come and take it from them, it's moral. Let's go back to the morally wrong. But these people, they know it. They know they are stealing. They know what they're doing. It's literally they know what they are doing. They know it. They know that they're intentionally trying to do everything they can to replace as much as possible work that other people are doing. Thanks God the technology is not yet smart. But their business plan is this. If we can replace artists, if we can replace secretaries, if we can replace lawyers, if we can replace this and this, our value will go up. That's exactly their business plan. You're talking about ethics and morals? That's exactly what they're doing. So in their board meeting, in their meeting, we need to write something so we need to prove that we are better than people that are in investment. We are better than this. And sometimes people make this comment, they don't understand artificial intelligence. They don't come for hallucination. Because even if it's print something, you have to review it and people read it. Yeah, I can help you, but maybe prepare, but you have to review. So the business plan of this AI company, I know it. I'm close to them. I live in the area. I'm an investor myself. And their business plan is like how every AI company that come to me for investment, they say, we're trying to replace this job by doing AI, by doing this, doing that, learning from data, doing this. So I don't think today AI would be able, but that's their job. So I think for the small creator, the creators, I think they need to create a coalition, powerful coalition, and go and defend themselves the same way Le Monde or The Guardian or New York Times did, because they actually deserve more than these big people, because for a lot of these artists and creator, it's just the way they live. That's the way they make the living. It's really crazy when you see them. Their success is if they can replace people.
Tell us a little bit about the energy aspect of AI, the requirements, the desire. I don't know if any of them has actually gone forward successfully, for example, with having their own nuclear plants to fuel their energy needs.
Yeah, the nuclear plant, you know, France is number one in that field. I think you don't build a nuclear in one day or 2 days or a year or two or three or four. It takes forever just to build it. And of course, these AI companies will lie to you. They will say, global warming, global warming. And we stop global warming. Apple, global warming, global warming. Google, global warming, we stop, you know, are you crazy? Why are you using gas for your car? Global warming. In the same time, the same people that use jet all the time, and in AI, they are polluting the world. There is more, one, I think the a model of ChatGPT use more electricity than, you know, the whole damn Africa in a year. It's crazy. It's just the way they, but don't say nothing, because these people are nice, these companies are great, come on, it's Apple, they love the world. It's all, yeah, so I don't think they will create nothing, but it's hypocrisy, it's lie. Hypocrisy. I would tell you, I am in the Silicon Valley. I come from nothing. I see nice people, the farmers. I go to the farmers market. I see great people, farmers. American, Latino farmers, they work hard. And they don't have this double nonsense, saying something and doing the opposite. So the AI companies, and they pretend to love the world, they only think about themselves. Google, Facebook, Apple, see. So there's no nuclear that's coming. I mean, they will be building it because China is building them and France is, Germany now wants to. And because what's the other alternative? There's no other alternative. Where are you going to come? You're not going to run the data centers with the California wind, you know, like the whole horrible thing that you see in California turning left and right. It's like it's useless. Then how many electricity? I live here. We lose electricity with no reason. Like a month ago, I was working. Boom! Electricity is gone. Why? We don't know. It's called PGE. We have electricity getting cut off in where I live, in the Bay Area all the time. So I don't know how they will run artificial intelligence because it requires a lot of electricity, a lot of powers, and that's. They will have to go there, and there's other small companies that are trying to say we can make smaller version of what we call centrale nucléaire. And remember, I worked on one of the projects when I started artificial intelligence, available online anyway. It's about how you do your, the waste in nuclear is terrible. How do you deal with it? Where do you put it? And where do you put the waste of nuclear?
And nobody has solved that, right?
I mean, I want it. It's like, where do you put it? No one solved that. You take it to Africa. Okay, let's get some dictators in Africa and tell them, okay, what if we give you $10 million? Come into the hotel in France. Do whatever you want. Can kill your own people. Give us some land. Let's put your nuclear down here. That's what they would do. And this dictator would say yes. That they would do. It's horrible. You don't hear about this. No one would tell you this. Why would they talk about it? Oh, global warming? What are you talking about? No. Computers? No. Nuclear waste? What are you talking about? Take it to Africa. You're not human. We are. Make me sick.
Is AI going to be able to break Bitcoin? So Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, but Bitcoin in particular, is known for being safe, let's call it, that the code is safe, that nobody controls the ledger, right? Is AI going to be so capable in the near future, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years, that it will break that code, that it will destroy Bitcoin?
No. AI itself, no. Quantum computers, if we do quantum computers, which is, again, before the America was born, we're talking about quantum computers.
What is this, back to Turing?
No, I'm not just talking. Before quantum computing, it's physics, you know, and you see all this, now it's the time, and it's crazy because they say, China started the quantum computing, and then you see companies jump and do, we have quantum computers, and you get all these investors that have no clue what they're talking about, and you get these people that sell them. It's like, okay, you want to invest in the future, put your money in this company, going to replace the world quantum computer. There are companies that public quantum computers. It reminds me about, you know, in my book, there was a story in, I think 16 or 17, I'm sorry, I don't remember, about a machine that was winning chess everywhere. And royalty, kings, they were surprised. I think he played even Benjamin Franklin or something in the United States. People would gather a machine. It's called Turk machine, Turkmen machine, Turk chess machine. And everyone was like, oh my God, this machine is like, wow. You know what the machine was? Because inside this was a dwarf person that was a genius in chess. He was beating everyone, a person. So I see, I don't know if quantum computing will come tomorrow. I hope it's possible, but I heard about this, since I was a little quantum computer. See, if that we do that, if we have quantum computers that work, really works, the challenges is crazy to make them work. There's a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of things about quantum computers, that will absolutely break the code of Bitcoin or anything else, because then we reach a level. So basically what's a quantum computer is like, we are moving from zero and one, a computer just have zero and one, yes, no, yes, no. You enter a world of all possibilities. Quantum computers is based on qubits. And it's not one state. It can be in both state, in all state in the same way. It's just fascinating. It's just one quantum computer that works will be equivalent to all the computers that exist in the world today combined. They will not even reach the power of quantum computers. But it's far from that. But the day we reach that level, we'll probably understand the universe. We will understand where we come, because we're talking about the atom level. We're talking on the atom level. We're talking about the way the atom works. This is why the complexity of it. It will be not just a game changer. It will be the universal changes since the Big Bang. It will be crazy. If we have a quantum computer that works, that we probably reach a level with artificial intelligence. Will not hallucinate. Will not do this. It will be phenomenal. It will just like be. It will be science fiction, real world.
Is AI the next bubble?
You know, we had so many AI winters I lived through them, AI winters, where when I was doing my PhD in 85, if you said to someone you were doing artificial intelligence, people were laughing on us. Honestly, I swear they were laughing. Ha ha ha, he does artificial intelligence. Because as I started earlier in 1960, when Arthur Samuel, and then you had Marvin Minsky from MIT that says by the year 2000, human would be pet to computers if the computers will allow us to be their pet. Comes from a guy who was leading the AI department of MIT. It was so much hype, so much things, and we had a lot of it's called the AI winters. We had at least two, I think three myself, but let's see, at least two. But I do believe we had three. This time, it's even more difficult because everyone now is AI. So it's very difficult to convince people that AI is not going to change the world. So if we have another AI winter this time, it will be, it's like, I don't know if you remember about nanotechnology. Maybe you probably don't, you're too young. Nanotechnology was presented to us as, oh my God, nanotechnology, it's so tiny, we'll solve it, we cure every disease, you put it in your body, you go everywhere. It was all over the news, millions of friends would say, we will be the leader in nanotechnology. Japan, we will be the leader in nanotechnology. America, blah, blah, boom, no one hears about it. But AI, I don't think it would disappear because it's used now. You know, everyone is using ChatGPT probably more and more than Google. So it would be used. But the hype about the valuation that we see, I mean, I saw recently an AI company here in the Bay Area, and their CEO says the company will, their product, we are going to replace 50% of the jobs of whatever white collar. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's no clue what they're talking about. No clue. How is a statistic will replace 50% of the job? How? How? I taught AI. Crazy. Oh, because you need funding. Okay, great. I need funding. We're replacing 50% of the job. Okay, the valuation now is not 100 billion, it's 300 billion. And some idiots will show up that have no clue what is AI. They manage the money of other people. A lot of investors, they don't have expertise in artificial intelligence. I have investors myself. I'm wealthy, so I do have a lot of investors with all these big names. They have no clue what is artificial intelligence. No clue, zero. And these people go and invest. Oh, wow. Because if I don't invest, the other guy invested. I am not going to miss. Okay, 300 billion. This is why they even invested in a dog company, dog sitting called Wago, that told them, we invest in AI. We are an AI company that changed the way we see dogs, babysitting of dogs with artificial intelligence. $300 million investment from SoftBank. Really? What am I going to say? I just scratch my hand and go have my burger. You know, it's whatever. Let them do. So I lost myself. I'm sorry. The bubble, you know, I hope it will not happen as I fear it. But I think there are good companies, good AI companies that will do well, but many of them will end. It's like search engine, you know, Google took over forever. We had Alta Vista, we had all these search engines before. We had a lot of search engines and Google took over. I think in AI, you will not have, you have Gemini, you have ChatGPT, you have this, you have that, Claude Llama, this and this. I think this is a game for that type of world, for winner take it all. So you will have one, the other will more likely disappear. And other companies will find a niche, specific niche, small niche that they will thrive in. But I strongly still believe in predictive artificial intelligence, that like the way we did at Brighterion, where it's explainable artificial intelligence is based on things that we can explain, but when you turn the word, when it's explaining, it's not as fancy as all the things that you see. It works on without you knowing it. When you make a decision about fraud or not, you don't know it, but we do it. When we do it for Homeland Security, I'm proud that my technology is used for Homeland Security. All this, people don't know it, but it's predictive. We can explain why we think there is a risk, why we can do this. And the rest, you know, bubble, I believe we are in a bubble. I can be wrong, but I'm 100% confident that two-thirds of the so-called AI companies will not exist in the next few years.
What would you like people to remember? If they remember three things, anybody who's listening to us, anybody who reads your book, anybody you have a chance to share your views with, what three things would you like them to remember about AI?
You know, AI is a fascinating technology. It's beautiful. It's absolutely phenomenal if used well. And it will help you succeed if you want to learn from it. I'm an example. I come from nothing. And I cannot be more in love than artificial intelligence. It changed not only my life, it helped me change the life of others. The other thing is, like, artificial intelligence is a tool. It's like a hammer, you know, tool. Every tool has its value, has its, you can use it for something. But like other technology, artificial intelligence has its limits. You know, we all heard about the deep fake where people pretend that you are not, etc. People know about that. So the other thing, I do believe that AI, the progress of artificial intelligence will augment human in every field. I repeat, in every field, augment, not replace, in every field. And it will be a part of our everyday life, which is already the case. And the reason I wrote the book is just I wanted every person, no matter where you come from, to be able to understand the field and maybe explain it to your kids, get them excited about it, and learn, go study it and build a company or get a job in it. And now for the future, I said it before, if one day we reach a level where we move from the zero and one that are very limited, despite their prowesses, it's like a calculator, you know, it's amazingly powerful in math, but we know it's not intelligence. We would take us a few years to see that this AI, despite its intelligence, when it's zero and one, it will never reach the human. Intuition, imagination, everything that I said, even common sense, you know, like you don't put your computer mouse in the fridge or in the microwave. No one tells you that. When the water rain, you know, you get wet. All these common sense things, the computer does not know them, does not have them. So I think the future, if one day we get a quantum computer combined with AI, that will be the life, the reality will be the science fiction, and science fiction will be reality.
Sounds like a multiple dimension sort of universe.
Exactly, because quantum computers are multidimensional. You said it very well, the same way you started it with describing AI better than me.
Ackley, thank you for joining us from San Francisco, California.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And to our audience, you have been listening to Ackley Ajaute, PhD, who is author of Inside AI, who discussed Inside Artificial Intelligence. To propose a guest for the show, you can email me directly at editor@hispanicmpr.com. That's editor@hispanicmpr.com.